He is the GM of the Golden Knights. Here's George McPhee. Mr. McPhee, how are you?
Bob, would it be my sweet lord for George Harrison?
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, Mr. McPhee.
I can't believe it's been 16 years. Holy cow.
Yeah, 16 years today. Isn't that shocking? It is.
Well, yeah.
So, surprised or not surprised? I mean, I thought you put this team together brilliantly, but the whole plan was for the future and not for today. And, if you didn't know any better, didn't know what you went through and all the moves you made, you'd never guess that was your agenda. But here you are, and this team is actually, it's pretty good. Are you surprised?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Good answer.
No one expected this start. We're really happy with it, but realistic, it's early. We're a long way from even the midpoint of the season. But
I get it.
We wanted to be competitive, and we are. And we're doing the best we can.
All right, so it's a market I'm familiar with, and it's one that I wasn't sure how hockey would go in Vegas. With this start, it is kind of off the charts, isn't it? You really have captured that town, haven't you?
It is amazing, Bob. It's amazing. We have 17,300 fixed seats. We've exceeded that capacity every game. We have lots of standing room only. The players are recognized wherever they go. They're treated extremely well. It's an incredible place to play hockey. And you wake up every day, the sun's shining. Our facilities are great. We have this huge fan base. Life is pretty easy here, where you feel like you're living in this nice small town. And this town seems to love this hockey team.
George, you actually did something today. Again, another first, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you actually signed a player to an extension today, didn't you?
We did.
And that's a first. That's a first off your roster, right?
I think it is.
Yeah. Braden McNabb for 4 years.
Thinking about it in those terms. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but I think you're right. John, he's played very well for us. We were happy to claim him in expansion, and he's become a very good shutdown defenseman for us. He's playing against the other team's top lines. He's a big guy, big space eater and has got a real good stick around the net and defends really well with block shots. And, we wanted mobility and offense from the blue line, but you have to have a couple guys that you can put out there at the critical times and last minute of the game to preserve the lead, and he's done a very good job.
About the only goaltender I think you haven't gone to yet is me, and
That's why he wouldn't talk to you.
A little depressed about that.
That's why he wouldn't talk to you, Bob.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, if you were still living here, you could be our emergency backup.
Thanks a lot.
We have to have one.
You remember those days? Yeah.
You might very well be better than the one we have.
Well...
No, uh-oh. George, don't say
uh-oh.
That.
Uh-oh, throwing somebody under the bus. How long before... I mean, I know this is a question, but what's Fleury's status? And are you... I mean, there's lots of rumors out there. I know he's back on the ice a bit, isn't he?
He's been on a couple of times. He's doing very well. He's working out hard off the ice. I watched him run hard on the treadmill the other day. He gets his heart rate really elevated. We just have to make sure that he's 100%. And the number of symptoms are down to one. And the severity now at this point is very low. But we're not going to put him on the ice to practice or do anything until that brain is 100% healed. And that's because it's important now. It's important 15 years from now. So... he'll be ready when he's ready, and there's no bright line test. We don't know when that's going to be, but hoping it's getting closer.
So, George, you and I talked about him 2 weeks ago, and he did skate lightly and then took some shots on a Thursday. Is he now back off the ice?
Yeah, well, basically, you know, our medical team was trying to get him out there to see how he felt. But Dave Pryor, who runs our goaltending department, basically said, you know, I don't want him on the ice until he's 100% healed. And because when I deal with him, I'm going to go real hard with him. I'm going to push him hard, and he's going to face a lot of shots and at 100% velocity and speed and everything else as quick as we can, hard as we can do things. So that's basically how he likes to train the goaltenders. He doesn't want to take baby steps. He wants them on the ice when they're 100% healed. And so we're going to wait until we get to that point.
On that topic, what did Dave Pryor see in Malcolm Subban that many others didn't?
Yeah.
Well, Dave's very good at what he does, and he's done it for a lifetime. He's always been a goaltending coach, and he's really kept us afloat here with what he was able to do for us. He really advocated for Subban. He thought that that he could be an elite goaltender, had that ability, and could get in his head and find out.
When Fleury is ready, does it change Subban's performance potentially? I know this is not a decision the general manager generally makes, but in your conversations with your coach and others, does it change the way you maybe rotate your goaltenders when you know you have a guy as your quote-unquote backup who actually can play?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bob, and I'm not sure. And that will be up to Turk to sort out and today prior to sort out who we play to try and win the next hockey game.
Hey, and, You talked about Gerard, with Turk's his nickname. You talked about Gerard Gallant. Did you said you had a good team, you didn't know they'd be this good. Did you know Gallant was this good a coach?
I'm not sure about that either. We were high on him. We thought he could come in here with a plan and a calmness that I think a new team needs to be patient with players. I didn't know that he was this good with the players. Everyone that we talked to that had played for loved him, but he has a real instinct, a real feel that comes naturally to him when he's behind the bench on how to handle players, to keep everyone involved in the game, to make everyone feel like there's trust there. He's because he does trust them. And what I like most is that I remember, when Pat Quinn, when working with Pat Quinn, it wasn't that the players were necessarily intimidated by him or afraid of him. They just thought he treated them so well that they never wanted to let him down.
Right.
And that's the sense I get here with Turk, and that's the right kind of person to be working for.
I can ask you this, George. With George McPhee, the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, look, it's a 24-hour town. There's lots to see, lots to do. Do you have a rule with the players? I mean, in terms of nightlife, of going to the casinos, et cetera, et cetera. In Vegas, if you work at Caesar's Palace, you can't gamble at Caesar's Palace. If you want to go across the street, I guess you can, but there are rules and regulations. I'm wondering how you treated all that when you got started. I have to figure you had some kind of a plan, some kind of rules and regulations. Would you share that with us?
Sure. Well, first of all, we have two NHL security reps that are really embedded in this community. Most teams have one. We have two. The league did that for us. One is sort of a gaming expert, and the other has been a detective here for many, many years. And they have had conversations with the players about what goes on in this town and showed an excellent film of what goes on in this town and this whole notion of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas isn't necessarily true if you're breaking the law. You know, people are going to know about it.
Yeah.
So they've had those discussions with him. In our first real formal team meeting, when we selected our team, and I like having an orientation after we select the team in the first week of October, to really go through all of our rules and policies and so on. And we touched on this and basically said, you know, that you're going to be treated like adults, and we expect you to behave professionally. And, we don't have curfews. We'll never check curfews, that sort of thing. But, you know, if someone gets their picture taken at 5 o'clock in the morning at a table, that's not healthy. That's not good for you. It's not good for the team.
Right.
And we don't need it. So be smart. Do the right things. Have fun. We want you to have the time of your lives. We want you to have a great career, hopefully here. And if you do the right things, everything will be fine. And I really think we've got some real quality people here, responsible people, and certainly don't anticipate any issues. And as we all know with hockey players, there aren't too many issues to begin with.
So you talked a lot, you and I talked a lot about a long-term plan. And I know a lot of general managers, most general managers of an expansion team, commit to a long-term plan, but many of them get impatient and do things that are reflective more of their frustration than their success. But you now have a team that has had success. Are you conscious of sticking to the plan? Or have you contemplated, if we are playing this way come February, maybe we vary a little bit, at least theoretically? Where are you on that?
I think that's a fair comment, Bob. We do have a master plan, but if this team is in the hunt way down the road in March, then we'll stay in the hunt. I wouldn't derail it. It's not fair to this team or this community. We'll do the best we can. We did the very best we could in the expansion draft to acquire surplus picks, and we did, and we're well stocked for the next for three more years.
Yep.
With picks, and we're going to use them to try and build a championship team, whether that's through the draft or putting a few together to get another player. Hope to be nimble enough to be able to do things based on how the team is performing.
That, George, that leads me to ask you about the relationship with Bill Foley. And this is certainly not a knock at any of the owners you've worked with in previous lives or that we all know about, but how do you massage the relationship, and how do you make sure that he understands the process? And this is happening at a better level, at a higher level, and is a lot more fun for him right now than he even anticipated.
Yeah, he's made it clear he's never had more fun, and so I've done my best to spend time with Bill and explain how I see the world and try to understand how he sees the world. Needless to say, we both want to win. We sit together during games, which is the first. I haven't done that before. Garth Snow did it with Charles Wang in on the island, and it worked very, very well for their relationship. And it allows me to sort of explain to Bill things that are going on in the game and tell him everything I think I know about the game, and it's his team, and he's entitled to know whatever he wants to know. He wants to win. He's a very competitive guy, and he will spend to win. And so we're going to do the best we can to do so and try to make smart decisions and see where it takes us. But, it's been a very good working relationship so far, and it should be. Because it's early and we've had some success, but we'll see where it goes. But we're going to do our best to win.